Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
The text for our meditation this day is our epistle reading from the second chapter of James, which you have heard announced and read, and so you may be seated. Labor Day weekend, the unofficial end of summer. Who's having some kind of get-together today or tomorrow? Anybody? Cookout, picnic, barbecue? Perhaps you've been invited to somebody else's, or perhaps you're hosting one of your own. How do you decide whom to invite? What are the criteria for deciding whether or not you're going to accept someone else's invitation? The vast majority of people will invite their friends and relatives, neighbors, people they know and like. That's just natural. It'd be a bit strange and probably more than a bit awkward to host a party for people you don't know. But today's epistle challenges our conventional wisdom when it comes to hospitality. The Apostle James does not mince his words. He makes very clear that showing partiality or favoritism is a sin. This was apparently a bit of a problem among those to whom he wrote his letter. They were judging on the basis of outward appearances and earthly degrees of wealth and importance. They were deferring to those of higher status, probably in the hopes of getting something in return. And James points out to them that this is not God-pleasing according to the law. The law is clear. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. All of them. Each one. Not just the ones we deem worthy. By treating the man in shabby clothes as though he's beneath you, you dishonor him. Your thoughts are evil, James says. In short, if you show partiality, you're committing sin. And we've all done it. Who here has never looked down on another? Who here has never thought of himself as better than someone else? It happens all the time. At work or school, in the grocery store, on the playground or at the gym, in the church. We see that one person who just isn't good enough and think, oh, him again, her again. We scowl and wrinkle our brows at those of whom we disapprove. We turn up our nose at people who don't appear to keep themselves up as well as we'd like, whose clothing is dirty or worn, and who may not bathe quite as often or as well as we think they really should. And it's not just a money thing either. It can be, I'm smarter than you, or I'm more athletic than you, or I'm a harder worker than you. We could come up with any number of different possibilities. And now you might say, well, that's a sin, but it's not really the worst sin in the world, is it? I mean, sure, it says love your neighbor as yourself, but at least I haven't killed anybody. I don't cheat on my spouse. I pay my taxes and give to the church. I may be guilty of showing partiality and judging others at times, but, well, there are so many other sins that are a lot more heinous than this one. But James simply will not let us off the hook. If you really keep that royal law, he says, you're doing well. But no one really does. And anyone who keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point, however small or seemingly harmless or insignificant stumble at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Because all sin is ultimately a sin against the first commandment. It is a failure to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. It is idolatry. Every slight, every unkind word, every sideways glance, every judgmental thought. So we're left with the disciples throwing our hands up in utter despair and crying, "Who then can be saved?" To which Jesus answers, "With man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible." That is to say, for Jesus all things are possible. He is the sinless Son of God who has come down from heaven to take on our human flesh and blood. He has taken our place under God's law, submitted himself willingly to it in order to complete what we could never fulfill. He has truly kept the entire law of God without stumbling at so much as one little point. Even when it comes to hospitality and kindness and welcoming others whom the world considers to be less, we see and hear him doing exactly that in today's gospel. A foreign woman, one outside of God's kingdom, comes to him on behalf of her demon-possessed daughter. At first, Jesus gives the standard Jewish response. God's grace and mercy are for his people Israel. And so it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Or, as it is recorded in Matthew's account of the episode, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But in a remarkable demonstration of faith and trust in that mercy and grace, this foreign woman replies, "You're right. I'm not worthy. I am a dog. But even the dogs still eat the scraps that fall from the master's table." God's mercy is so rich, so abundant, that even when the children have eaten their fill, there must still be some, however little, left over for me. And Jesus sees this woman's faith and says, "For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." Jesus didn't despise her on account of her nationality or her gender or her weakness. He treated her as a beloved child of God. And that's how he treats us all. We are all the unworthy. We are all the dogs who have turned against our Creator and despised him and others, who've made ourselves gods in his place. And that's precisely why Jesus came down from heaven and took on our human flesh and blood. Not only to fulfill God's law on our behalf, but also to lay down his life as the payment that our sins deserve. And because he is true God, his innocent suffering and death is sufficient payment for the sins of the whole world. And as if that wasn't enough, he spreads before us a table and graciously invites us to come, to eat and to drink his flesh and blood for our forgiveness, life, and salvation, unworthy though we be. That Syrophoenician woman was right. There is mercy enough, even for you and me. So great is His mercy that it extends to us all. It covers every sin, every slight, every unkind word, every sideways glance, every judgmental thought. So we see ourselves no longer as better than anyone else, but that we're all truly equal in the sight of God, sinners who've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We can treat others the way Jesus treated the woman, as beloved children of God, just like us. We can welcome others into our assemblies, even those of perceived lower standing. We can be kind toward others and patient with their shortcomings. We can help them and do good to them, knowing that God has helped and done good to us. And yes, we will still fail. We will still stumble in keeping God's law and so become guilty again of breaking all of it. But the blood of Jesus still covers us. His mercy remains great. And it will keep and sustain us as we seek to show no partiality as we hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. He truly has done all things well. Amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.